In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Moncrief on News Talk.
The big fashion thing now is cleavage. Thanks to the like of Bridgerton and the Wuthering Heights movie, the balcony and shelf cleavage has roared back into fashion. Tanya Sweeney has been writing about this in the Indo. Afternoon, Tanya.
Afternoon.
So describe what is balcony cleavage or shelf cleavage?
Well, balcony cleavage, I suppose, is best described as the... You probably will have seen it if you've gone to see Wuthering Heights or you've seen Charlie XCX on the red carpet. And it's basically that hoiked up, cantilevered, what I call credit card slot creation cleavage, you know. So it's all up in your face and very, very much on display. And I've been told, or we've been told by the style press, that it's the absolute height of fashion right now.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, it's I suppose it's the kind of thing you would have seen, you'd see it in Bridgerton, but you would have seen it in a lot of historical dramas as well. Almost like if you're wandering around with a cup of tea and you need someone to set it down.
There's a
pair
of
boobs jutting out that you can just pop it down there. That would
exactly.
Always struck me as looking kind of painful.
Maybe that's entirely the point. I mean, I think it is a Regency era sort of, you know, inspiration. And I think this is something that, you know, the fashion of the time wanted to kind of lift and separate the breasts, you know. But it's having a major, major moment. And it is because of things like Wuthering Heights, Bridgerton, you know, and all of that. And I mean, it's interesting because obviously, you know, a year or two prior, it was certainly not... in fashion at all, you know. And I think I wrote about this in the Irish Independent, saying that it's just so interesting how these things, we're told, you know, by the style press that this is now the desirable kind of body type and you know, that it's something to aspire to, you know.
I assume, though, it's a style that, not to be indelicate, you need substantial boobs to make it work kind of thing.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, if you are a person who does not have that natural body, where does that leave you? You know, and like I say, these things are always very cyclical. So, you know, in a year's time, it'll probably be the minimalist silhouette will be back in fashion. And then, like I say, the embon point will be a little bit out of style, you know. But what do you do when that is your natural body type?
Yeah. Isn't fashion a broad enough church that people don't necessarily have to do that? Or do you think there's a kind of a pressure to people be going off getting boob jobs so they can
look that way? Well, I think fashion is one thing, right? And, you know, that's all well and good. But the problem is that these things have a way of sort of becoming then the norm, and they become the kind of ideal body standard. And, you know, we've cycled through so many different body types in the last few decades, you know. And the problem is that, you know, if we start saying, you know, small hips and large bums are back in fashion, you do have women hot-footing it to aesthetic clinics and spending substantial amounts of money trying to make that happen for themselves, you know. And it just has a way of finding its way into mainstream culture. I think women are particularly porous to these sort of ideas and culture in general, you know. So it's one thing just saying, you know, yes, the balcony cleavage is back. But unfortunately, there is a cohort of women, you know, who will take it upon themselves to really go there and to alter their body. And the problem is this, you have to expend an awful lot of time and energy and just mental energy trying to keep up with what, you know, the style press tells you to do.
Yeah. Is it just, but I assume from what you're saying, it's not just about boobs. It's about, you need a particular body shape to make all this work or to be fashionable.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you can absolutely buy any number of accoutrements that are going to get you that look, you know, but you definitely need some baseline, you know, stuff there to begin with, for sure.
Yeah. So because, I mean, there have been periods where to look waif-like and like you really needed a sandwich was the fashion. And presumably that was impossible probably to most women.
Well, I mean, as somebody who literally lived through that era in the 90s, you know, and yeah, I do remember that, you know, the Kate Moss waif look was incredibly in. And, you know, the thing that was really sort of desirable were jutting clavicles, jutting hip bones, very minimalist. And the thing is, you know, when you live through that as somebody who is anything but minimalist, you know, it does kind of come in on, especially if you're a young woman, you know, it does have a way of kind of getting in under your skin and going, well, there's a hierarchy here and I'm not on top of the hierarchy. Of course, what happens is your body type does eventually jog into fashion, you know, and I wrote this into the column in the Irish Independent, like I was embarrassingly flattered or relieved, I should say, when kind of hourglass shapes started to become fashionable about a decade ago. And I kind of, that's why I wanted to write the column, because I was like, we really shouldn't be buying into that, you know, and we shouldn't feel inadequate just because, you know, one body shape is in fashion. Unfortunately, that's just the way our beauty standards are and beauty culture and diet culture are, you know. They swap out one unattainable body shape for another, you know. There's never anyone going, yeah, just you know what's really in fashion now? That Doritos and wine every night body type, you know. I mean, I live in hope for the day that, you know, the fupa, as we call it, is the apex of feminine desirability. But I won't hold my breath either.
Who is setting those standards, though?
I mean, I look, it's people who run massive companies. Sorry, Sean, sorry. It's people who run massive companies who, you know, whose business it is to make us buy things because we are feeling insecure about ourselves. I mean, it sounds like a fun thing to be able to say, yes, you know, Bronte Core is back in fashion. But, you know, this is the workings of multi-billion dollar companies who are peddling either, you know, diet solutions, weight loss solutions, or cosmetic solutions, you know, anything to keep a woman, you know, second guessing herself, really.
Yeah, it's just that say in Bridgerton, you know, there's always these extravagant balls and all the women are dressed in that particular way. Now, because they put in a multiracial cast and there's a modern soundtrack, it kind of distracts you perhaps from what the historical reality of that was like and what that style of dress signaled to people, that women were basically boobs to be married off to rich men. That's all they were good for.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I personally love the fact that, you know, projects like Wuthering Heights and Bridgerton are taking that license with historical accuracy. I mean, I find that a lot of fun. You know, it's great to look at. It makes the experience of diving into something like Bridgerton or Wuthering Heights really sort of delicious and escapist, you know. And yeah, you're right, the historical accuracy is definitely at large. And as is the significance, like you say, of what those body shapes were all about. But I don't mind that necessarily.
Mm. Tanya Sweeney's column, as she said, is in the Irish Independent. Tanya, thanks a million.
Thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.